Hi, I'm Amelia, and you're listening to BG Hidden Gems. Today I'm here with Jeff Snook, the owner of Snook's Dream Cars.
My name is Jeff Snook, and I am the proprietor, the owner, the chief cook bottle washer at Snook's Dream Cars Automobile Museum in Bowling Green, Ohio. In 1998, I sold our manufacturing company that I had purchased from my father 10 years ago. But in the meantime, he stored all his cars and all his collectibles there. So in 1998, I sold the business. We had a year to move out and didn't quite know what we were going to do. We ended up buying some acreage on the southeast side of town, and then we constructed a museum building.
How long would that be, like, total that it's been open?
We opened in 2002.
2002.
21 years ago.
Man, that's awesome.
And we had help, a lot of good help, displaying things and designing the layout from BGSU, the design school. We were the senior project of Lori Young, if she's still around. I think she is, in the design department. And she got her senior class and, you know, we just went to town figuring things out. And they did a marvelous job. They got a lot of great experience. I got, you know, basically free labor to do things other than, you know, I was always buying a lot of pizzas for everybody.
So are all of the cars there, are the cars yours, your dad's, a mix, like?
My dad's and mine. He passed away about 8 years ago, and he was always glad to remind me that he had more cars than I did. That's because he started before I did, was my excuse. Mm-hmm. So now that he's passed away, some of his cars weren't quite my favorites. So I've changed the collection around a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's probably, I guess I'm getting more cars than he does now. But in the wintertime, we store cars for a lot of people.
Okay.
And some of those storage cars are nice enough that we stick them in the museum temporarily. So there'll be some customer cars. I think we had four in there this winter. And now we're down to just one, because when the museum gets filled up with cars in the middle with other people's cars, it kind of blocks my cars in, and I can't get them in and out very easily.
That makes sense.
And it's a living museum, Amelia, and I drive all the cars.
Okay. That was going to be one of my questions. Like, if the cars are, like, actually able to be driven.
Oh, absolutely. That's the only way for me, in my mind, to keep an old car. They're like our bodies. If you don't exercise them, things go to hell. Mm-hmm. So that's my job, is to drive them all. I have a checklist, and there's 21 cars on the checklist, maybe 22. And I would like to every month, when the weather's good, drive a car. But there's just too many cars and not enough good days, because we got rain some days. And these cars do not go out in the rain. There was no rust proofing like they have now on new cars. Mm-hmm. So we keep them inside when the weather's inclement. Our oldest one is from 1931. Our newest car is 1971, before you were born.
Yeah, before I was born. That's cool. Okay. I was going to ask, like, what the range was of the cars you have. So that is, like, pretty decent.
You've got the age range there. And I'm kind of partial towards sports cars. Mm-hmm. So I have British sports cars like Jaguars, MGs, Triumphs. And then I've got a Porsche old sports car. I've got Alfa Romeo, Austin Healey. And then we have a bunch of American cars, too. We have, you know, Chevys, Fords, Plymouths, Pontiacs, Cadillacs, Auburns, Packards. So an assortment of cars from the 30s, you know, and then those are kind of like pre-war cars. Then we stopped building cars in the United States during World War II. So from 42 to 45, there weren't any cars built. So then we start in the 46. What do we got? 46, we got 50s, 60s American cars. Since the cars are all running and driving, that's kind of our mission. All cars will be running reliable and ready to show. So
Okay.
they're all ready to go out at a moment's notice, depending on what car I want to take out and drive and where I want to go. I don't go to many shows. I find it a little boring sitting down,
That makes
talking to
sense.
other guys about their cars. I see cars all day. I see guys all day. So I like to go out and drive.
Yeah, that makes sense.
My wife doesn't know what car I'm bringing home. We're going to go out to dinner someplace. We go to Perrysburg, Toledo, Waterville, Grand Rapids. We just go out and drive a different car. So since we have these old cars, we drive them. Occasionally things will break or fail or wear out. So we do have a full-time mechanic. And that's one of the neat things about Snooks Dream Car. You can go into our shop, for a bay shop where there's various cars being worked on, to keep them running and do repairs. So not only just our cars, but we get cars from all over the Northwest Ohio, people who have problems with their old cars. And we
Okay.
get a mechanic, and he will dig in and read the books and the manuals and figure out how to fix their cars.
That's really cool because I would imagine the maintenance for cars is a bit different, like back then.
Oh, yeah, you didn't plug them into a computer like you do now. You plug it into the OBD2 reader and it tells you where the fault is, what's not right. No, you don't do that. You have to kind of diagnose. And that's one of the good things Terry, our mechanic, is good at, is diagnostics. So he'll try to figure out what's going on that's wrong with the car. A little story right now is another thing we do is I market cars for people. I act as a broker. They bring me their car. We inspect it. We detail it. We clean it. And we repair it if necessary. In this case, we've got a 65 Mustang in from a local Bowling Green guy. We've known the car for 25 years. He's had it into our shop before. This time he brings it in, and the carburetor's not running right. It just won't take gas. So Terry, over a little bit of time, has finally diagnosed that it's the fuel pump. I'm sorry, the accelerator pump. Fuel pump is okay. Fuel is getting to the carburetor from the gas tank, but once you put your foot into the throttle, there's supposed to be an accelerator pump there, and that's failed. So it's something, take the carburetor off the car, take it apart, replace that part, and we should be good to go.
So, out of all the cars, do you have a favorite one?
Well, Amelia, my stock line is whatever one I'm driving. But I
So,
do have a few favorites. I've got a 63 Jaguar XKE Roadster that I just love to drive, the big long hood sticking out. A torquey six-cylinder engine going through the gears with the top down. It just sounds good. It feels good. The view is pretty nice. So that's been one of my favorites. However, I just bought a car the end of last year. We got it into the museum in January, February, and that is a 1964 Porsche 356 Coupe. And I'm thinking that might be my favorite, but I've only driven it about 100 miles since I got it. So we'll
Not
see.
really. Can you tell me what like a typical day would be like for you at the museum?
So I will work on sending invoices out to customers that we've worked on their car. This Mustang I told you about that we got in has a carburetor problem. I will be sending him an itemized list of things we found that aren't correct with the car. So it's his choice whether to fix them and maybe get more money for the car, or let it go and just get rid of the car. And then, so I send invoices out, I get bills in, so I make sure those get put into our accounting system. So that's kind of how my morning goes, is just doing paperwork, what came in the last day in the mail or email. I spend a lot of time on email because, as you and I discovered, you can communicate quite a bit with email. But there's nothing like looking at a person and talking to them.
Very true. I would agree with that a lot.
So that's why I wanted to do a Zoom. When you brought that up, I thought that was a good way to get this together. Afternoon, I'll spend maybe more time out with the cars, in the shop, greeting visitors. we don't really do a tour per se. It's self-guided, but people come in and they have questions about various things. So either myself or Terry. In the wintertime, Terry's there and I'm not most of the time. So he greets people, takes their admission, checks them in, and then he's there if they have any questions about the cars, or they come into the shop and see what he's working on. I think in the shop, we've got an MG, we've got a 35 Chevrolet, we've got that Mustang, so various cars, of which none of them are mine. So there are other people's cars that are in the shop being worked on.
Okay, that makes sense. So that kind of led me into my next question. What would a like typical day for a visitor be like? I know you said there aren't tours, but what's their experience like?
There's so much to see and do, even do. A lot of I get questions, how long will it take to go through the museum? And I'll say generally an hour plus or minus. Some people, it amazes me, they come in 20 minutes, they're gone. They walked around, kind of looked at every car, didn't read about the cars, but they looked at all the cars and looked at the stuff, and then they leave. But some people will spend 2, 3 hours. Lots and lots of stuff to see. Each car has a plaque on it, a data sheet that tells what it is, where it was made, what the horsepower is, various information about the car. So you can spend some time just reading about every car. Some cars we have additional information that we've been able to dig up. So there's also another flyer or another board that people can read about that car. One thing the students did is when they set up where the cars are, they divided into kind of like four, five different areas. And then they put signage in those areas, little flags that hang from the ceiling about what happened in the 1960s in the automotive world, what happened in World War II, what happened in the 50s. So there's stuff there to look at and see. So the cars are all arranged kind of chronologically. So that's where the cars are in the museum. But the first room people enter into, I liken it to an old-time gas station office.
Okay,
My
that's cool.
dad not only collected cars, but he collected anything related to cars, including old gas station stuff, things you could drive by for your car. If you had a rattly window, he's got a board on the wall full of little window rattle preventers that you could buy.
I
All
didn't.
kinds of these stuff. There's a display of fan belts. There's a display of window cranks. You know what a window crank is?
Is it where you crank it on the side to
To
turn it
open and
up?
close the window. But most people now, everything's power windows.
I will say that is like a pretty far back memory for me.
This one display board has actual crank handles and door handles displayed, and underneath it, it says number 15, 1946 to 1947 Plymouth. So if you had a 46, 47 Plymouth, you'd say, oh, I need one of those number 15s. The guy go in the back room and bring you out one. So
Okay, that's cool.
just kind of neat stuff like that.
That is really neat.
Yeah.
So, was it your dad that got you into like cars in general, or was it?
Course he did. Yes. He was a car guy from when he was like 17 years old. He got a part-time job when he was in high school working in a gas station, pumping gas, changing oil. And then by the time I think maybe he was 18 or 19, he saved up $20 and bought his first car.
For
Yeah.
$20.
And this was 1939. So, yeah, 39. Yeah, 1939. And it happened to be a Model A Ford. And Model A Fords were, Henry Ford built lots and lots of them. So there are a lot of them out there. And in 1939, this car was maybe 10, 15 years old. So it's cheap and maybe even worn out a little bit. The tires, but my dad saved up $20. Interestingly enough, the car he bought was the first car in the Snook family. His parents never owned a car. They couldn't afford a car or didn't know how to drive, whatever. But back in the 20s, everybody didn't have cars to have a car.
That makes sense. My grandma, she's 88 and she never had a car, never got her license.
Yeah. So a different generation from me and a couple generations from you. So
Oh,
that got him started with old cars. And then when I got to be 15 years old and wanted to get a car, like every young man did in the day, it's my independence. I can get a car, I can be cool, I can drive around. I don't have to be stuck with my parents driving me everywhere.
Yeah.
So my parents decided that, well, if a Model A Ford was good for your father when he was young, a Model A Ford would be good for you as your first car. And my dad picked up a 1931 Model A Ford that needed restored. So it was a father and son project.
Oh.
We worked on it, after school, after work, on weekends. I learned pretty much about how cars work, the brakes, the ignition, the carburetors, all that stuff. But I learned another thing, and that's that I don't like to work on cars.
So
I will maybe get a polishing cloth out, or sometimes Terry, our mechanic, needs someone to help hold the wrench or something. And yes, I'll do that. And I know which way to turn a wrench, but I'm just not liking doing it. Terry and I, and I'll put a shout out now. I'm looking for a museum assistant, which is responsible for keeping the cars and the facilities in tip-top condition. And I had a young man who graduated from college a year ago, so I'm without a helper right now.
one
Hertz
person.
Dream Cars is looking for someone who knows how to drive a manual transmission stick shift, because most of the cars have stick shifts in them.
Oh,
So
wow. The
that's a requirement. But cars from the 30s, 40s, all manual. Our main clientele is probably people that are in their 60s, they're retired, seniors. But we still get a lot of interest from people younger than that. And there's so much to see in the. My dad was an avid collector. I said, see and do. We have pinball machines. You can put a quarter in and be the pinball wizard, pushing the buzzers and stuff. Get a driving machine you can play. We have slot machines, one-arm bandits,
Really?
stuff like that that people can play. It is what it is. We've got a lot of stuff to see because my dad just collected all these things. An old Wurlitzer jukebox. My dad was just an avid collector. People ask me if I collect anything. I said, I really don't have room to collect anything. Yeah, I collect a few little things, but the museum walls are all jam-packed full of stuff and display very nicely because of the BGSU students. It's not just for car guys. Other people enjoy coming in. We're keeping history alive is one of my taglines because the cars are old, they're history. All the artifacts that we have there, all that's history stuff. Things that people either saw in their past or heard about or saw on a television show or a movie, things from the past. So that's why we're a museum.